So we pray together. Let's have a word of prayer. Loving Father, we pray that beyond this sacred page that we may see Jesus, that we may see the love of God, that we may see your plan for our lives, and that we may meet with the living God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to spend a short time in your word this morning. And we ask, Father, that you will touch our hearts afresh. For Jesus' sake, we ask. Amen. Amen. Good morning. This is a real momentous week for us as a church, and something we've been looking forward to for a long, long time. We've been in direct planning or building now since 2010. That's a long time. And actually, before that, many of you will know that really it's been decades that the church has wanted, I think even back to David Broomfield's time, that there's been a desire to build on this side of the church in some way, or to renew the buildings in some way. And here we are, right on the cusp, right on the brink, right on the threshold of a new season. And it's exciting, isn't it? I hope you're excited. And I hope we'll see you on Wednesday night, because that's a night for us as a church fellowship to be able to celebrate. We're going to be at Love Loughton there on the 16th. We'll be much more of a community celebration. But it's only right that this church family has the opportunity to join in with that celebration first. And I was reflecting on it over the summer, and I had a few days of retreat and time to pray and think. And I was reminded just of how God led us to step out in obedience to do this. It was in May 2016 that the PCC decided to go for it and push the green button, if you like, and say, let's build. And that was a real step of faith, because, you know, there was a risk there, because we didn't have all the money. We still don't have quite all the money, but we certainly didn't have it then. And it's good to step out by faith and in obedience to God's will. And that's where we want to be, isn't it? Never just playing safe, but always stepping out in the things God calls us to by faith. But when I look around there, I do see a beautiful building, and that's lovely, because it's part of honoring God and honoring the legacy that we will, all of us will leave this building to someone else at some point. We want to leave something fit for purpose and right and good. But the thing that's most beautiful that I see when I go around the building is I see people finding hope in Christ for years to come. That's what I see. When I walk around that building, I see children, families, elderly people, people of all generations, of all backgrounds, of every kind of, every sort of person you can imagine, coming through that building in years to come and through here, that this church is called to be a light. This church is called to prove and demonstrate that nothing is impossible with God. And that it's about, the beautiful thing I see is people finding hope in Christ. That's what's beautiful. And I do see that in this church, in the Hope Center. And I really believe, as I've been praying over the summer, that this is going to be a new season of the Spirit's work here at St. Mary's. Just as we've been through seasons in the past where we've seen growth and blessing and the Spirit of God at work, I believe this is going to be such a season. And a time for restoring a passion for God and for our community to know God, to discover the goodness of God, to recover that passion that nothing is impossible with God, and that we want to see every single person in our community discover the glory of Jesus, discover friendship with Jesus, discover new life in Christ, become new creations in Christ Jesus. That's what we want, isn't it? We want salvation to be spread abroad. We want there to be wholeness, that salvation that Jesus brings to body, soul, and spirit, that everybody would know God loves them, that they would respond to that love. They would know his healing, his forgiveness, his love, his presence, that this good news of the kingdom of God, this good news of Jesus Christ, would not be something we keep in a corner to ourselves, but it would be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that we would be sharing this good news of Jesus. And that's exactly what this Romans 10 passage is about. And the passage is really split into two, really. The verses 9 to 13 speak to us of how to receive new life in Christ. How is it that we can be saved? How can we get to know God? How do you become a Christian? That's what verses 9 to 13 are about. And then verses 14 and 15 are about this beautiful news of the sharing of this news of Jesus with others. So firstly, let's just look briefly at the first few verses here, verses 9 to 13. Just let me read them again. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. That's a great declaration. And one of the reasons they made that declaration was because it was common in those days for a Roman citizen to be asked to make the declaration, Caesar is Lord. That was something that was well known at that time. And so it was quite incendiary in the time of the Roman Empire to make a declaration such as, Jesus is Lord. That's what they were being asked to do. In fact, it would have come at a great cost to anybody who wanted to make that statement and live that life. Jesus, not Caesar, Jesus is Lord. And what a statement that is. It's one of those statements that can easily trip off the tongue. Jesus is Lord. Yes, we've heard that for years. But if you take a moment and meditate upon that statement, I want to ask us, is he? Is he Lord of my life? Is that borne out in my attitudes, in my priorities, in my decision making, in my character? Jesus is Lord over my choices, over my future, over my family, over my resources. Jesus is Lord. That one statement is possibly the most radical statement in the entire New Testament. Those three words bring transformation. And it's something that we need to take time to meditate upon, because we could easily make ourselves think, oh, Jesus is Lord. Of course, we all believe that. But what does it mean? He's my king. He's my master. I'm following him. I'm submitting to him. I'm surrendered to him. And what would that look like? How would that change my lifestyle? So it's a remarkable thing to declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. It's quite a radical, quite a wonderful, purposeful, intentional, powerful statement and lifestyle to live. Jesus is Lord. And that's our message for Loughton. Jesus is Lord. Yes, there may be crises taking place around the nations today, but you know what? The nations are as a drop in the bucket. Our God is sovereign. Our God is on the throne. God is on his throne this morning. No matter what, North Korea, Donald Trump, Theresa May, anyone else you can imagine, all the world leaders you can name, no matter what they do, our God is on the throne and glorified in heaven today. And he is in charge. And nothing is impossible with him. The nations are as a drop in the bucket. It's Jesus that is Lord. The answer to our problems today in the United Kingdom or the West or in the world is not in the White House or number 10 Downing Street. It's in God's house. It's with us, a people who grasp the reality, a people who know the experience of Jesus is Lord. It lies with us. The destiny of this town is in our hands. By God's grace, if we can live out this truth, Jesus is Lord, that's our message, that is our lifestyle, then this community will be changed. It couldn't help but be, because it's such an irresistible message, a dynamic, powerful, this is explosive This is incendiary. The message of Jesus as Lord sets us on fire. It inflames our hearts with love. It's not a harsh message, it's a message of love. The kingdom of God, the goodness of God. Jesus is Lord. So if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Do you see the marvelous hope we have? We don't serve a philosophy. We don't serve a set of rules and regulations. We serve a living Savior who is alive today and forevermore. He died, and for 3 days he suffered death and was judged and took our sins upon himself in his body on the tree. And after that time, he was raised from the dead. Jesus is alive. Alive today, he's among us, he's meeting with us here, because where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. And so he's alive. And we have wonderful news to proclaim. Yes, the devil may be angry and being about his business, but Jesus is alive, and Jesus is always victorious. Jesus has never been defeated, and he is not a disappointment. And Jesus is Lord. He is alive, he is Lord. Do you see what hope there is in this message we have to proclaim? That it's a living faith. It's a living Savior. It's a personal Savior. This is wonderful. This gospel message that he is risen from the dead and that we can know him. So it says, if you believe in your heart that God is risen from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. That's where salvation comes from. The Lord Jesus Christ. Not from anything that we have done. No, there's no going to be boasting about what we did. It's all from him. He's the one who's risen from the dead. He's the one who's Lord and Savior. And we just need to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, and we will be saved. He says, for it's with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. That's from Isaiah 28. In other words, you'll never be disappointed as a Christian if you're living out the truth that Jesus is Lord. You'll never be bored as a Christian if you're living out that truth, and also if you're believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. That's the life of victory. That's the life where we can overcome. We can be overcomers through Christ Jesus. Not that there's never going to be a problem, because there's going to be. The Bible says that God says we should expect trouble, we should expect difficulty, we should expect trials and suffering in this life. But it says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. There's always hope. Always hope. There will always be hope. Isn't that wonderful? Lots of people live in our time today and they have no idea that hope is something tangible in the person of Jesus Christ. They think of hope as something that maybe it's some sort of wistful thinking about how you'd like tomorrow to be, and don't know that real hope is bound up in the person of Christ. And when you come into relationship with that Jesus Christ, that you will never, ever, ever, ever lack hope, because Jesus is the hope of the nations. We'll never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is over all and richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone, for everyone. Isn't that wonderful? Everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wonderful news. Do you know we have the best gospel? I mean, nothing else comes close. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wonderful. Isn't that marvelous? Magnificent. It's glorious, isn't it? But that's the message we've got to proclaim. We want to be sharing that with others. And that's what we're coming on to, because that's how to become a Christian. We don't become a Christian through church going or good works or pulling your socks up to be a better person. You become a Christian by faith in Jesus Christ. And I wonder, have we believed and confessed and professed our faith with our mouth and our heart? because it's so important that we know that we're saved, that we know that we're going to heaven to be with the Lord one day. And secondly, verses 14 and 15, we see this beauty. If we've got such good news, you see, it's so important what we believe about the gospel. If the gospel is something dreary or dutiful or something that's not, doesn't capture our passion in our hearts, then of course it's not going to be easy to share. But if the gospel is the dearest, most wonderful, magnificent news we've ever heard, then to be honest with you, it's not horrible, it's beautiful to share. I don't understand why so many Christians are worried about sharing their faith. Because what does that say about Jesus? If you, let's say, for example, I discovered that you were embarrassed to tell someone that, we were friends, or you went to say, I'd think to myself, what on earth's wrong? What does that say about me if you're embarrassed to say I'm your friend? But so many Christians are afraid to let someone else know that they belong to Jesus. What does that say about what we actually believe about Jesus? I think Jesus is wonderful, and I think you think he's wonderful too. I think we think together we believe this, don't we? We really do. And then if we do, it's the most beautiful news. I was hearing that, you know, there's bad news this morning about North Korea setting off this hydrogen bomb, and the world is in a panic about it. People, bad news spreads quickly, doesn't it? And sometimes people are hooked on bad news. Well, this is beautiful news. And it's news that is the fragrance of life to those who believe, but the fragrance of death to those who don't. This is sharing our faith. And Paul asks here four questions. He says, how? Four times. Listen, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? He puts this logic of the necessity, the imperative upon us as those who profess Jesus as Lord, that we will be those enthusiastically declaring this message out, and that we are sent. The main thing is knowing that I am sent. The bottom line of Paul's logic here, we are sent by God. You're an ambassador for Christ. You are a missionary. You are a child of God. You are not of this world, but you are an ambassador of heaven to earth to make known this lovely, wonderful, beautiful news of Jesus. It doesn't say here that we have to be qualified. It doesn't say we have to be highly trained, perfect, strong, clever. No, it doesn't say that. But it does say you have to be sent. You have to know you're sent. Who is sent? All of us. You just need to love Jesus and be breathing, and you're sent. I think that's all of us, I think, this morning. We're sent. And the Hope Center reminds us that we are sent ones. This is not put up here to be a monument. It's put up here to be a missions base. Something that we go from, a place we go out from, a place that we are sent from, and that we can also bring people to, but a place where people go from and are sent and come to find something beautiful of his kingdom. So the basic message this morning is, I am sent. You are sent. We are sent. And that's something beautiful. That's not something dutiful. And how do we do that? Well, there's so many ways that we can do that. There's so many ways that we can share Jesus. We're just starting an Alpha course here at St. Mary's. And I wonder whether it might be that you know people, or you'd like to do it yourself, but if there's people you know it would be good for them to come on a course about Christianity, invite them to come with you and say, I'm going to go, will you come with me? Just say it's going to be a course about the Christian faith. Would you like to come? I'm going to go. Would you like to come? That's one of the best ways of sharing the beautiful news. That's what in the Bible, there were people who would invite people. Matthew invited people. The disciple Matthew was an inviter. Invite people. That we do, we share the news of Jesus with our neighbors. As Caroline said last week, we got a shock when we invited our neighbors around, and 40 of them turned up. Amazing. So we're going to keep doing that. We had no idea so many would actually come. We invited 3 streets nearby us, and people came, and we loved it. But we want them to know the love of Jesus. It's just something we can bring into conversation, something natural and normal. It doesn't have to be forced. It doesn't have to be pushed, but just into conversation with our friends. And I'm sure many of you do that already. We can share our story with people. What's your story with God? What's your experience of Jesus? Share that with someone who doesn't yet know him. People love stories. We're built like that as human beings. We love a good story. And it doesn't all have to be rosy. It just has to be honest and authentic. But share your story with others about Jesus. We can do apologetics, which is giving a reason for the hope that's within us. Because sometimes people will say questions like, well, if there's a God, why does he allow suffering? What about all the other religions and all these other questions, which are great questions, which is a great reason to do Alpha, because we cover those questions. But it's good to read up on those things. And I'm hoping to get a Christian apologist to come here to speak at St. Mary's on some of these thorny questions that people ask. Another way of sharing our faith is through social action and loving people. That's why we have Food Bank, which does such a great job, or Job Club, or other parts of our church family that we're not preaching at people. We're not kind of knocking them overhead with the Bible. We are loving them and meeting them at their point of need and sharing the love of Jesus with them. And then when they ask a question, we can respond. But it comes, the initiative comes from them, from the people, and that's wonderful. There's opportunities to pray for healing for people, to pray for people, all kinds of ways, very creative ways that we can share our faith through Cafe Hope here. If anybody would ever like, if you're thinking, I just don't know how to share my faith, sit out there one day in Cafe Hope and say, Lord, give me an opportunity to speak to someone who's in need today. And I'm sure God will answer that prayer and give you an opportunity to share with someone. That's the heart behind why we're building and have built the Hope Center. It's the same heart that we have for the rest of our church, that people would discover the hope of Jesus Christ. And are we bringing that gospel to others? I remember when I started to share my faith, it wasn't easy at the beginning. But as soon as I began to realize how much it built up my own faith, and what a joy I felt as I shared my faith, then it actually became something beautiful and something wonderful to me. The first person I ever led to the Lord, I think I was 16 years old myself, and there's nothing quite like leading someone else to Christ. I wonder if you've ever led someone to the Lord Jesus and prayed that prayer with them that says, Lord Jesus, I confess my sin. Have mercy on me. Come into my life. Lord, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior, and I give my life to you. That praying with someone to receive the Lord Jesus Christ is glorious. It's wonderful. And I've done it many times since. And I tell you, to be what they used to call a soul winner, or someone who is sharing Jesus with others, is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And I pray that all of us here get the opportunity to do that. If you've never had the opportunity to do that, ask the Lord. Lord, give me an opportunity that this year I may get involved in such a way with my neighbors, friends, family, or here at church in some way, so that I may see some of my dearest, nearest and dearest that they would also say Jesus is Lord, and that they would also believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead, and that they would be saved, and that you'd be part of it. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you that how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And it is a beautiful thing to share the Lord Jesus Christ with others. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that this will be a church that knows the beauty of the Lord Jesus and sharing him. I pray it would never be a burden. I pray it would never be a pressure or a duty, but that it would be something precious and wonderful and beautiful. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will capture our hearts so that we would say, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. For his name's sake we pray. Amen.